Yeah, what's going on, Knicks Anonymous family? Welcome back to another, or may I say, a glorious episode of... There's unfortunately no Stevie, so I have to say the intro myself. Knicks Anonymous. Shout out to Stevie. He could not be here today. He is feeling under the weather. But I told him the show must go on. And he has my blessings. Or I have his blessings. So... the screen is like this because I don't have a single, naturally we're a two-man team, so I don't have a single, box, so I have his box, so he's here in spirit. man, this is new for me, now I gotta do the whole show. Okay, so, social medias, follow us on Instagram, at Knicks Anonymous. Make sure you follow us at Twitter at Knicks Anonymous. Subscribe to this YouTube channel at Knicks Anonymous, for more, episodes. We post every Monday, or we try our best to post every Monday. If we don't post Monday, we would post sometime during the week. That's why it's good to follow us on Instagram and Twitter so you can get updates and stuff like that. Twitter is more of Stevie's domain, so he be getting the Twitterverse stirred up. The Instagram is more of news and just general updates. I kind of run the Instagram. Couple memes and stuff like that up there. So, and most importantly, we go live after every game, and we try to do every game. Lately we haven't been doing these West Coast games because they've been ending at damn near 12, almost 12:30. So I'm after the game, I'm slumped, especially after the Clippers game and that Jazz game. Oh my god, that Jazz game I had to make alive. But shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family as always. Thank you guys for rocking with us. This is episode, I believe it is 112. I believe it's 112. I didn't look it up because usually that's Stevie's job, and Stevie is not here with us today. So it is on me. 112, I got it right. Yes, episode 112. So hope everybody's had a good weekend. The Knicks gave us, Jalen Brunson specifically, but the Knicks gave us some good things to cheer about, some bad things to cheer about, more so bad, unfortunately. Not too bad. So the Knicks played the Jazz. The Knicks started their West Coast trip. They played the Jazz, the Suns, and the Clippers so far. And then tomorrow we got the Lakers. Fun. So, the Jazz game, I'm going to keep it brief because I made a live that you guys should definitely go check out on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous because I actually beasted. I was losing my mind. To sum it up for you pretty much is that we should not have, starting off the West Coast journey, we should have taken this win. This was more of like a gimme. Not too much like a gimme, but like a gimme. Like, let's be real. The Jazz are a struggling team, rebuilding. Going through a process, the Knicks are definitely more fundamentally sound, chemistry-wise, I can even say player-wise. We definitely got better players than they do. They have a lot of good players that hustle, and, they never give up. They played to the final buzzer, and that was the biggest reason why we actually lost that game. Because I think the Knicks used to have a symptom of playing down to their competition. And that Jazz game definitely seemed like they played down to their competition. I mean, RJ Barrett absolutely stunk up the place. I believe he had like 9 points. Brunson, I think everybody had pretty much had a bad shooting night, specifically Brunson and RJ. And that could explain a lot as to why Brunson did what he did against the Suns. Probably I didn't even think about that, but he definitely took that game personally. And dude, the Jazz just, they wanted it more at that point. I think even the announcer said it, the Jazz just came in and wanted it more. And that's unacceptable for a Knicks team. That's especially, where we're at right now as a team. We're a team that's thinking of making some serious like runs, ECF runs. We can't be losing those kind of games, especially with the kind of schedule we have. We got to win the games we're supposed to win. And so far they've been doing good. This one, unfortunately, just slipped from them, and the Jazz took it. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. Definitely go check out the Instagram. I was losing my marbles. So this leads us to the Suns game. The Suns game, I was actually, I put up a poll about the game day predictions, like what you guys thought on Instagram, what you guys thought what would happen. The trend kind of was the same. It was all about, you know, KD gonna drop 40, the big three, you know, Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant gonna come in and violate, you know, the bare basics. Me personally, how I felt about the game, I really didn't know how to feel, to be honest, because after that Jazz loss, I was kind of down in the dump. You know, not a good start, especially going against the big three. Fortunately, unfortunately, you know, you never want, you know, I never prey on anybody's injury or downfall. But at the end of the day, it benefited us. It did benefit us. So Bradley Beal got hurt within like the first 4 minutes of the game. And I think that helped the Knicks immensely. And I want to actually, I'm just remember that for a second. I'm going to use that later on in as I go. So overall, the Knicks did pretty well. The Knicks did pretty average. Pretty average. The Knicks, but besides Brunson, the Knicks, you know, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, they got their averages. Dante, 5 points. Not really producing anywhere else on the stat sheet. Not that he really needed to be honest. So yeah, I guess for the Suns game, let's just get straight into Jalen Brunson. I mean, it was the Jalen Brunson show. I mean, for the majority of the game, it was back and forth. You know, we were right there, they were right there. They was getting buckets, we was getting buckets. Randle was showing that he was dominant in the paint over KD. KD was showing Randle that, you know, he's KD. Even though KD did kind of have a not the greatest game, he did have 29 points, but he didn't really. Oh, he did. He did shoot the ball well. He shot the ball. Oh no, he shot the ball really well. So KD had a good game. KD had a good game. So yeah. So the difference maker in this whole game was definitely Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson finished this game with 50 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 5 steals. 5 steals, dude. And not only did he have 50 points, my man went 100% from three. Not shooting 1 3, not shooting 2 threes, not 3, not 4. This man shot 9 of 9 from 3. Now, obviously, you're not going to expect that from, you know, you're not going to get that every night. But the fact that Jalen Brunson's becoming a high-volume shooter and more of the less a consistent one, obviously not 100%, I'd say maybe about 40%, maybe even, you know, 42%. Dude, that's a great adjustment in Jalen Brunson's game, because remember I said in previous episodes Jalen Brunson was a guard that was never a point guard, that was, or, you know, shooting guard, however you want to consider him. His game wasn't necessarily based around the three-point shot. Now, he used to gun it from three, you know, every now and then, but the three-pointer now is starting to become his bag. Not the bag, but it's in the bag now. Like, his book bag is huge, or duffel bag, or whatever bag you think Jalen Brunson got, he has the three-point in that bag now. And this is why I believe he should become an all-star. That aspect of the game has increased his game exponentially, because now he can operate from practically everywhere on the floor. And the threes that he was making wasn't just three-pointers. They were very uncomfortable three-pointers. Like, the Suns were doing, they were throwing doubles at him. They were throwing a lot of different sets at him to try to make him uncomfortable. And he was shooting way beyond the arc, at the arc. There was a play that Grayson Allen kind of like knocked it out of Brunson's hand, or I think they ran into each other, something like that, and Brunson like fumbled the ball and he just threw it up and the ball hit the front of the rim and like bounced around. I think it hit the backboard once and went in. You know, that was the kind of game he was just having. He was on fire. And you know, if you fraction this, because obviously you're not going to get this Brunson every day. But if you fraction that as an average, So not 50, maybe 25, 24. Jalen Brunson averaged 24 points, possibly shooting maybe, let's say he shoots like 6 threes a game. He's making 3, 4 on average. Yo, dude, even 2, even if you hit 2 out of 6, at least as long as that second one is like a game winner or something. Dude, we have a star in the making. It's hard to kind of, I don't know if he's the A+ though. I don't know if he's the A+. I do believe we need just one more person. And I think it's that small forward position. We're lacking a small forward. We have 2 shooting guards out there. RJ Barrett, you know, is the size of a small forward. You know, you could get away with that, but I would just much rather have a actual small forward and just put RJ at the 2, because that would be a mismatch hell for a lot of teams. But I'm rambling right now. That's besides the point. So just to add more to the Brunson burner, Brunson is the first Knick player ever to score 50 points while making 9 threes. He is the first player to go 8-for-8 on a 3-pointer in a half, in a single half, in NBA history. So Brunson's in the history books right now, ladies and gentlemen. As a Knick, Brunson is just the 4th player in Knicks history to record a 50-point game on 70% shooting, joining franchise legends Patrick Ewing, Bernard King, and Willis Reed. Those are some serious names to be necked. Yo, Brunson is going to be a all-time Knick. 100%. And this is really only his second year with us. He's going to be an all-time Knick. Absolutely. And all these accolades that he's accumulating, if he's not an all-star this year, we're going to have some serious issues. The biggest plus to this game, even though the Suns did score 122, you know, and that's going just based off who they have. You know, they have elite scorers. So like I said before, these guys are going to get their points. These guys are going to get their 20s, their 30s, you know, whatever. Whatever the case may be, they're going to get it. It's just how they get it. Because there's a difference between an efficient 20 points and an inefficient 20 points. So, you know, I you know, even though they did shot well, they did shoot well. Sorry, that's not a word. They did shoot well. I think Devin Booker kind of struggled a little bit. Hell yeah. 1-for-5. Even when you look at it in the overall, the team stats, they shot 39% from 3. So they're a bunch of 3-point specialists, and we knocked them off their game. You know, the perimeter defense was solid enough to, you know, where we could hold them off. But really put it in perspective, though, you know, without that defense, we still might lose. That's why our defense is so pivotal. Like, even with Jalen Brunson's 50-point game. Because, you know, if our perimeter defense isn't as on point, out of 5 of those threes, maybe, you know, not only does he hit most of them, but he probably shoots more. Same with KD. And who else was on that team? Let's see. Maybe even Grayson Allen. You know, he's a common Knick killer. But overall, though, I do like they fixed the defense. The defense I was preaching about in the Utah game, they brought it here, especially with Jalen Brunson's 5 steals. There's the defense right there. You know, overall, the Knicks did very well this game. You know, they had a tough one, and they came in and they toughed it out. Now, moving to the Clippers game, wasn't the same narrative. We got beat by 22. 22. Score 122-144. I think the biggest reason why we lost this game was purely based off rebounds and Mitchell Robinson. So defensive rebounds, they out rebounded us 27-34. We actually dominated. We didn't dominate, but we, you know, offensive rebound. But that's besides the point, though. they were, it goes beyond the stat sheet with this one on Mitchell Robinson. They were completely abusing Zubats with pick and rolls. Dude, what would happen every single, mostly every single play down the court, it was either one or two things. Either one, they would iso Randall with Kawhi Leonard, which there's nothing you can do about that one. And the second one is the pick and roll, which you could do something with that if you have the proper defenders. No disrespect to Isaiah Hartenstein or Jericho Sims. But Zubats actually annihilated Jericho Sims and pretty much had a wicked game against Isaiah Hartenstein. You know, nothing crazy on the points, you know, 13 points, 11 rebounds. But that pick and roll opens up a lot for these guys. And defense, the perimeter defense. Like I said, we held the Suns to 39% from the three. The Clippers shot 48. You're not going to win that, especially when you have Paul George and James Harden on the same team. But yeah, I think Mitchell's the biggest reason why we lost this game, because we had to focus so much on the interior that we left the perimeter pretty much just wide open, because they were carving us alive with that pick and roll. We couldn't stop it. Either they would give it to Zubats or Tice. I believe that's his name, right? Tice. Daniel Tice. Yes, Daniel Tice. You know what I mean? So they would just either that, or if they didn't dump it off because we over committed to the center, whoever was the point guard or whoever had the ball, most likely it was either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or James Harden. That's a crazy, it's crazy, 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 crazy. That's crazy. Most likely James Harden, but that's a crazy lineup to have. And yeah, that was the game plan, and they took over. We let James Harden cook, 12 assists. You know, they were on. You know, that's three future Hall of Famers, debatably. So maybe some more than others, meaning James Harden and Paul George, but whatever. Three Hall of Famers, you know. So I'm not too mad about this loss per se, because this came down to an injury-related thing. If we have Mitchell Robinson, I think this game goes a little bit different, because they won't be able to get the things they want. And when you tend to put pressure on Paul George and James Harden, they tend to fumble and do things they're not supposed to. This game, they were extremely comfortable. So because they were in their comfort zone, we allowed them to shoot 48% from three. You know. So what else? Because, you know, offensively, again, we did pretty well, especially Dante DiVincenzo giving you 18 points. You know, RJ Barrett giving you 18, Julius Randle 22, Jalen Brunson came back down to earth, unfortunately, you know, 22 points. So we gotta figure out a way. I mean, no, I can't say that, because I genuinely believe if we had Mitchell Robinson, we beat the Clippers, because we did it before. You know, and I do understand that the Clippers were a different team then than they are now, because of like the chemistry and like the way they play now is a little bit different, a little bit more intense. But like I said, it comes down to comfortability. And with Mitchell Robinson in the paint, they can't really run that pick and roll as effective as they did, let alone have that many options. So overall, Knicks currently the Knicks are 1-2. Not a bad start. Could be 0-3. Could be worse. We actually got a big one against the Suns, you know, especially against KD, because we hate KD. So, you know, that's definitely a good one. KD even gave Jalen Brunson his props, tried to throw Grimes some shade. You know, they gave Grimes room to operate, and Grimes took it. So gotta give it up, bro. You know that, you know, KD may be right that's not who Grimes is, but dude, you gave it to him and he took it. So, you know, we do understand Grimes is having a tough outing, but you know, what a way to clutch out, you know. And just for you wondering what his stat line was, it was 9 points. You know, nothing crazy, but 3 of 6 from 3 hitting the threes you're supposed to. He did a pretty good job on Devin Booker, making him pretty uncomfortable. Overall, plus 12. Emmanuel Quickly. I don't, here on Knicks Anonymous, we really haven't been talking a lot about Emmanuel Quickly, and I've noticed that. I don't know if that's a problem or a good thing. I think it's in between. Because overall, Quickly has been producing a lot for the team. But, you know, he's gambling on himself, which is fine. I just didn't like, I wasn't a fan of it. I thought he should take the money the Knicks were giving him because I thought that's what he was worth. And so far, I'm slowly becoming right, or am right as of right now, because he is playing exactly what we were going to pay him. You know, he's not doing anything extravagant. You know, he's just, you know, a good spark off the bench. You know, he's not, he may be in the running again, you know, depending how the season goes. But as of right now, he's been pretty good. You know, he's been pretty good. So, you know, but like I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with betting on yourself. But the Knicks may be in a kind of a problem when a team overpays him, because we're gonna re-sign him, I believe. I think we're gonna match whatever any team, you know, pays him. But it's gonna be a shame if we, you know, offered him a certain amount and we let him go into the free agency market and somebody puts up a price significantly higher than what we offered, and then we have to pay him that amount for him to continue producing what he's, you know, averaging 10, 12 points a game, you know, off the bench. I'm not a big fan of it. Let me know what you guys think down below. Because at that point, you might even think about letting him go. Yeah, I mean, if it's that significantly more. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't backfire against the Knicks. I don't think it will. I think teams will just probably pay him the same amount. Maybe like maybe 3 mil more. And that's nothing. I'll give him that. I'll give him the 3 extra mil. But I'm talking about a team that's like really rebuilding and really sees potential in IQ. And they're like, all right, we're going to throw the bag at him. You know, do we throw the bag back? I guess that depends on what he does for the rest of the season. But overall, though, he's been doing very well. I don't want to shit, you know, I don't want to make it seem like I'm shitting on Emmanuel Quickly. I really like this kid. He's doing what his job title insists. Come off the bench, spark, hold it down if you have to, make timely threes. His rebounds are actually kind of going up too. He's starting to have a knack for the ball. He's starting to become more of a, he's starting to look more in terms of passing. You know, he's evolving as a player, which is nice to see. He hasn't, you know, regressed or been stagnant. You know, I see a little improvement in his game. But my only problem with IQ is what I just mentioned with the situation. So the Knicks take on the Lakers. I don't know if Anthony Davis is playing. If he's not, that would be big. Other than that, you know, we would have LeBron James to worry about, but then we got Julius Randle. So, you know, we'll see about that matchup. We got to really fix our defense. That's going to be the main point of emphasis for the remaining, for the whole season, honestly, if you ask me. The biggest, we got to take a lot from that Suns game, because for the Suns game, we allowed our defense to become our offense. And I feel like when the Knicks use their defense to create offense, they succeed. It's when they create offense and try to play defense is when they fail. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference. You know, you got to play off the defense. You got the fast breaks, the stops, you know, that makes you feel good about yourself, you know, instead of getting, you know, swished in your face every 5 seconds. That kind of hurts your ego a little something, and that kind of affects you in the long run throughout the game, especially when something crazy, like say you get dropped or something, or you get dunked on. You know, that stuff, mental stuff goes a long way in sports. So, you know, we gotta allow our defense to create offense for us, because our set offense is, I believe, still caca. Not the greatest. But starting to become better with Jalen Brunson, because he's starting to, you know, he's starting to steamroll. So I feel like he's gonna open a lot of things for a lot of people, because, you know, going into these games in the past, it used to be, okay, we gotta stop Julius Randle and throw doubles at him. You better think twice, because Jalen Brunson's not gonna allow that. You double Randle, you better pray. You better pray Randle does some Randle shit and turns it over, or does this fidget spinner, or throws it, you know, in the seventh row, trying to throw it across court or something. Because if he finds Brunson, good night. You know, so it all comes down to our defense. Can we stop there? Because, dude, we're going to have to go against D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, dude, Cam Reddish. You know, Cam Reddish hasn't been doing, real, you know, that bad. They're not the greatest three-point percentage team. They're 24th in three-point percentage, and they're 30th in 3 points attempted, which is actually pretty odd, because they have D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, who love to shoot three. I would have no doubt in my mind that they will try to test their luck against us, because we're not the greatest perimeter defenders. Because that's every team, you know. It is what it is. You know, I just pray that Anthony Davis does not play tomorrow, because if he does, I don't know. I don't think we win that game. I don't think so. I don't even know who their backup is. It doesn't matter. It's because it's not AD. And I refuse to watch Isaiah Hartenstein guard Anthony Davis. Or Sims. I love Sims. I'm sorry. Ah, dude. That's a tough one. That's a really, really tough one. And who do we have after the Lakers? We have... We have the Nets. Okay, we could take that. We're back in New York, kind of. We all know the Barclays Center is the Knicks' second home. Let's be real. Hopefully, we can beat the Brooklyn Nets so bad that Mikal Bridges would want to trade to the Knicks, because that would be phenomenal. So to end it, with that being said, is it just me, or should the Knicks acquire a small forward? Yes. I vote yes, and I have three people on my list. I have Mikal Bridges, for obvious reasons. I think everyone could agree to that one. OG Anunoby, which is another obvious. The only problem with him is his injuries. And my third, this is going to be my dark horse, but it might just work. And my third small forward that I think we should acquire is Andrew Wiggins. Now, at first, I wasn't all for Andrew Wiggins. He is currently struggling in Golden State, but it's not for reasons that you think, though. I did some research, extensive research, a lot of videos, and he came... So, his minutes were reduced due to not only his injury, but the fact that at the time, the Warriors believed that Jordan Poole was going to be their next best thing. And, you know, in order to give one player minutes, you have to take away minutes from the other. So during that whole time frame, the Warriors were learning how to play without Wiggins, if that makes sense. So his role in the championship Warriors was not the same with the role of Jordan Poole. The role that he had for the Golden State Championship team could 100% work on the Knicks. I'm going to tell you why. His role was practically just to sit there to be the outlet, because the Warriors had what you would call a neutral offense. And the Knicks kind of have the same neutral offense. Let's just say that. I tried to make up a word, try to be smart, didn't work out. They have a neutral offense, right? So the neutral offense pretty much is entailing that you have guys that force a lot of attention. On the Warriors, it was Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You know, all you had to do was just throw Wiggins on the wing, and let Curry drive to the basket and let Thompson get it. And by the time Wiggins got it, he's wide open. Because you have two guys trying to stop Steph Curry. He throws out to Klay Thompson. You got two guys trying to stop Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson gives it to Wiggins. And Wiggins just pulls up out. You know, his and that kind of offense led into his defense, because since he wasn't exerting so much energy on offense, he was pretty much a lockdown defender at the three. Now, on the Knicks, he would literally have to play the exact same role. Our Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, you know, as funny as it's going to sound, is Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. They attract a shit ton of attention, especially with the way Jalen Brunson's been playing. And, you know, you can't double nobody no more. You gotta pray. You gotta, you know, all eyes on me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think Andrew Wiggins would be an absolute force on the Knicks. An absolute force on the defensive side of things and offensive side of things. Because he's only averaging 13. That's all I need from Wiggins. All I need is he might average more because of the amount of attraction that Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson would get. And why I see Andrew Wiggins is because out of all the other small forwards, he's one of the cheapest. Zach LaVine, you're going to give up like $40 million or some crazy nonsense like that. DeMar DeRozan wants like $30 million, I think. You know, nah, I'm good off that. Other than that concludes today's episode, man. Let me know how I did alone. I felt like I was just rambling, talking my shiznit. So hopefully I was making sense to y'all. And dude, like I said, the basics of today's of moving forward is going to be defense. You know, I'm not worried about our offense. Our offense will be our offense. You know, our guys are averaging their averages. Jalen Brunson's doing amazing. It's the defense. Can we stop these guys from outscoring our outscorer? You know, we're scoring a lot, bro. We're always in the hundreds at this point. Pushing, you know, you could even say 105, 110. You know, we're getting beat in the hundreds. So, dude, if we could just stop those points, Andrew Wiggins. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I'm just an analyst. Or I'm a... Yeah. I guess. Right? But y'all consider me an analyst? Nah, I'm too real to be an analyst. Call me whatever you want. A fan. A very educated fan. Who's pretty cool and handsome. But whatever. So, shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. Love you guys. Thank you for spending your Monday with me. Hopefully the Knicks can catch this dub against the Lakers today. And, dude, that'll be big. Just pray Anthony Davis does not play. Peace.